1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And we'll begin in verse number 9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do, toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, as we study the Bible, and thank you for, Lord, giving us your word. Now, help it to be rightly divided. Help this preacher, dear God. Help me to have clarity of thought and mind. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we approach a very sacred and important subject, dear God, that you would open our hearts, dear Lord. Let the word of God do its work in each of our lives. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This portion of scripture from verse 9, we taught the first 8, and I think there's very much an outline in the first 8 that helped us tremendously on just learning a little bit on how to comfort people that are going through the crucibles of life. Verse number 9, if you begin there and read down to the end of the chapter, you see this wonderful 3-point outline. There's 3 desires that Paul had in his heart towards these people that he loved and cared about. We studied last week on the importance of perfecting, having our faith perfected. Verse number 10, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And we studied that. I won't reteach it. But God uses the teaching, the preaching. Paul said God is going to send me. One of the reasons I want to get to you is that God's going to use me to perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So God uses the pulpit ministry, the teaching and preaching ministry of the pulpit to perfect that which is lacking in our faith. So that's the first thing. He said, I want to see that which is lacking in your faith perfected. And then we read on verse number 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. So he said, I'd like to see your faith perfected. He said, I'd like to see your love towards one another increase and abound. And then the third point, verse number 13, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. I said last week, that's a pretty good list right there. You know what? If we could say, Lord, help us to have our faith perfected, number one. Help us, number two, to increase and abound in love one toward another. And number three, help us, Lord, to have our hearts established unblameable in holiness before God. Well, if we could get that accomplished, that's a pretty good list right there. That's a pretty good prayer request list for each of us to pray and ask God to do in our hearts. I'm going to take the second one of these. We spent an entire week on perfecting that which is lacking in your faith. I think I'm going to spend this week talking about the second of Paul's desires, the second thing that he was asking God to do in the hearts of these people, verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Now, folks, this is very, very important. You're going to see by the end of the lesson, I think, the importance of it. God's desire for us is that we increase in our love and that we abound in our love. Notice it starts one toward another, and then it works out from that to all men. And so every single one of us, our heart's desire, aren't you glad that God's patient with us? Let's say that first of all. He said, my prayer is that your love would increase. And so God doesn't expect us to go from here to here in 1 year, but I believe that every year of our life, we ought to increase in certain areas of our life. Now, here's a very fair question. Do you love the brethren more this year, right now, at this evening service than you did a year ago? Has your love for the brethren increased? Has your love for the brethren abounded? Has your love for people outside of the church increased? Have we fallen stagnant? Has it gone backwards? And so here's what I like to this is how I view my Christian life. Maybe it'll help you. Well, listen, all I want to do is grow. I preached a message here several years ago entitled, What is a Good Christian? Here's the answer according to the Word of God. A good Christian is a growing Christian. Yes, sir. So I just want to grow. I may not be where somebody else is, but I know where I'm at, and I want the Lord to increase in my life to perfect my faith. I think my faith tonight ought to be more perfect, more mature, more complete than it was a year ago. Now, folks, I've said this from time to time, but I'm 52 years old. I got saved when I was 5 years old. Now, do the math. I've been saved for 47 years. Shame on me if I have immature faith. I mean, come on now. Shame on me if I have immature love, if I haven't allowed God to increase and abound my love one towards another. I'm 47 years saved? I mean, come on now. Now listen, if all we did was just increase a little bit, you say, preacher, I've only been saved, 4 years, not 47 years. Well, hopefully right now your faith is more perfect than it was 4 years ago, and your love is stronger than it was 4 years ago. And by the way, that you're more established in holiness than you were 4 years ago. Every year, Lord, help me to grow. Help me to have a little bit stronger faith. Help my faith to be matured. Lord, bring into my life the things that are going to strengthen my faith. And Lord, help me to love people more. Now, I'm going to stand in here and testify for a minute, and I tell you all the time, Jesus is an example of everything, and I'm not an example of anything, but I can tell you this. I love people in a way that I didn't love them 10 years ago. I love people in a way that I didn't love them 5 years ago. One of the things that I ask God for is to give me his love. Now, remember what we said last week? Watch this. Paul said this, I need to get to you because God has used me. We went back, remember, when we looked at the different pulpit ministries, evangelists and preachers and teachers, and God uses them to perfect our faith. Now, watch this. You know, here's the thing. Paul said God uses men like me to come to you to perfect your faith. But then he said, and we pointed out this last week, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. Now there's some things that I can help you with, and there are some things that God has to do for you. The Bible says this, the fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first one? Now folks, listen to me, that's a work of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I know that God uses the preacher, and I know God uses the preaching, and I'm not pushing God out of anything. I'm just saying that God says, I've called certain men in certain offices, pulpit ministries, to help perfect your faith. But when it came to the matter of love, now, Paul does say this at the end of the verse, which I think is important, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, I think that he was providing, at least for them, an example of how to love people. But honestly, it had to be God that done the work in your life. You know, you heard your preacher say that the number one obstacle that I faced when I got called to preach, and really the number one obstacle, the number one thing that held me back when I was called to preach or worried me about going into the ministry was the fact that I didn't really like people that much. I mean, I said, Lord, you're calling me, and if this is your call upon my life, to me, it's a life spent having to minister to and work and be around people, and I'm really just a lot happier not being around any of them, and you want me to love everybody, and I don't even like most people, and so how am I going to do this? Now watch this, folks. I had to begin to ask God, you got to give me a love for people. You got to give me a love for people, okay? One of the things that your Sunday school class ought to see you grow in, if you've been that Sunday school teacher for several years, is they ought to see your love increase more and more. And I asked the Lord, give me a heart for people. Lord, break my heart so that I can love people. And I'm not anywhere close to where Jesus is. I don't pretend to be, but I'm going to tell you something. I love people. I love people here, and I love people out there. And God's given me a measure of his love. I think that comes from seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's not something I can conjure up. It's not anything in the world you can fake. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And so what I need is I need God to teach me to love and God to love through me and help me to learn to love people. And I pray about that. That's been a prayer request for all these many years in ministry. God, give me a heart, give me a love for people. Now, I want to talk to you about the importance of that. Two things here. Let's look back at verse number 12, and then we'll take you to a couple places, and we'll just talk about this idea. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Go to John chapter number 13 and stay here in 1 Thessalonians because we're going to come back and visit it, I think, in a little bit. John chapter 13. I want to talk to you about the importance of growing in love one toward another, one toward another. John chapter number 13, if you'll go there, in verse number 33, we're going to look at the words of Jesus Christ and something that he said to his disciples. I want to put this portion of scripture in context. John chapter number 13, verse number 33, we'll read that in just a second. If you look back at the beginning of the chapter number 13, we see the last Passover. If you have a reference Bible, you might see that. My Scofield Bible says the last Passover over verse number 1. Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Where's this happening, folks? Where's this happening? In the upper room. He's going to leave the upper room and head to Gethsemane. On the way, he's going to talk to the disciples. By the way, the book of John, think of where you're at. You're in chapter number 13. Where's 13, 14, 15? Where's 16? Then he prays the prayer in 17. All those chapters is what he spoke to them about as he's leaving the upper room and walking and heading towards Gethsemane. Now, folks, listen to me. You're taking the last walk, and Jesus knew he was taking his life. This is the last bit of quality time he's got to spend with his disciples. These are his parting words, because as soon as he goes in to pray, they're going to fall asleep, and he's going to get arrested, and you know what? There's no more teaching time after that. This is it. This is the last stroll with Jesus Christ. This is last chance to impress upon them the importance of a handful of things here. Now, look, if you will, in verse number 33, little children, notice the tenderness here. Jesus knows he's getting ready to say goodbye. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. I wonder if any of them understood how much that little while was. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new camp commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Even by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So this is his parting words. This is what Jesus is saying as he's walking towards Gethsemane. And what Jesus wanted to give them, one of the important things that he wanted to instill in them, is he said, listen, you got a responsibility. You know what? I think he looked at some of those disciples that were prone to bicker. I think he was looking at some of those disciples that had, you know, polar opposite personalities, didn't always go. Remember, they were arguing from time to time. There was a dispute among them about who would be greatest. I mean, they were just like anybody else. You watch this. You get 12 men together and opinionated men and men that have potential leadership in them, and that's who Jesus picked, and you know what you're going to have? You're going to have some conflicts going on from time to time. And he's walking there, and he's looking at them. He said, listen, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to love one another. He said, the only way that the world will believe that you're a disciple of mine is if you learn to love one another. And so, folks, listen to me. This isn't something we ought to just push off. And this isn't something we ought to convince ourselves isn't important. This is huge. If you have more animosity in your heart towards other members of this church than you had a year ago, you're going backwards. You're not going forward in your Christian life. If there's somebody who walks in the door, when you see them, there's just something inside of you begins to grate, and you can kind of grind your teeth, and you've got all these negative thoughts. You know what? You need an old-fashioned altar and ask God to give you a revival in your heart. Nobody walks in this church that I've got anything in my heart against. There's nobody watching my church. I don't look at them and have a heart of love towards them. There's not one young person I see walking the door. You know what I do? I love these kids. Listen, I'm just not talking talk. There's some things I'm not good at, and I'm pretty transparent about it. But I'm going to tell you something. I beg God for this. There's not a child that I see that I don't love. If the devil's convinced you your preacher doesn't love your kids, he's lied to you. Because you got a preacher that loves your kids and loves your teenagers and loves your grandkids. You know what? There's not an adult in here that I don't love. And I mean with the love of Christ. And I don't pray for and I don't wish the best for. And I'm not rooting for you. It doesn't mean we always agree. It doesn't mean there isn't times I'm not disappointed. It doesn't mean there aren't times that I wish you'd do better. And I'm sure there's times you wish I'd do better. But I'm just saying, you know what? All of that shouldn't affect the love. And so ask God to increase your love one for another. The Holy Spirit sheds a love abroad in our hearts one for another. The devil walks around, tries to shed hate and animosity in their hearts one to another. And so don't let the devil win in your life. Learn to love people. Well, I don't like their personality. Well, you can love them and not like their personality. But I got an idea. Why don't you get off your high horse a little bit? Why, since when have you decided that your personality is perfect? And anybody that doesn't have the same personality that you have, then there's something wrong with them. Hey, maybe there's something wrong with you and they're right. You ever thought about it for just a second? Now, let's just back it up, back the truck up a minute here. Okay, aren't you, listen, I said this a lot of times, but I like the fact, I like a wide range of personalities. And if we were all the same, this would be the most boring place in the world. I don't want everybody to be the same. I want you to be the way God created you to be. And have the unique personality he's gifted you with. Now, I want it to be Holy Spirit controlled. But you know what? There's going to be people that are quieter and people that are more talkative. There's going to be people that are bolder and people a little more timid. There's going to be people that have a big sense of humor. And some people, you wonder if they got any sense of humor, you know. But hey, you know what? We're family here. We're just family here and we love everybody. And you know what? Thank God for the diversity. Because the honest truth is, there's going to be some people that, you know what, your type of personality will never connect with and you'll never be able to really help, but there'll be somebody else who doesn't have your personality, they can make a connection with them. Hey, stop, listen, let's stop trying to make everybody like us. Let's just all try to be like Jesus as best we can and be surrendered to his spirit so he can take who we are and take us flaws and all and use us for his glory. You know, I feel like tonight what I'm doing is just giving you a pep talk, say, hey, church, it's time to love each other, man. It's time for you guys to start pulling for each other and you young ladies start pulling for each other. It's time to put aside this little cliques and, you know, my group, their group. You know, everybody's got a label and everybody's got, you know, there shouldn't be 3, 5, 7, 8 different groups at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. There should be one group, the church. Well, I'm part of this group and they're part of that group. Well, what are you doing? Who gave you that idea? Who started that? Okay? So let's just love each other, all right? You'd be a pep talk. Love each other. Remember when you and your kids used to bicker and used to make them sit on the couch and put their arms around each other for an hour just to torture them, you know? They couldn't get along. There was a family that used to go to our church here and it had two teenage daughters and they bickered, and so the mom and dad made them hold hands for an entire school day here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Every time they go to break, they had to hold hands. Had to sit together at lunch and hold hands. I never seen two girls more miserable in my life. Sometimes I want to make some of you sit on the couch and put your arms around each other and just, you know, learn to like each other for a while. Now, come on now. All right, let's just learn to love each other. Preacher, what is love? Let me teach you what it is, and you know, but let me remind you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, is there a better place to go? I'm not going to teach down through this verse by verse, but I'm going to give you a quick overview. I mean, love, you can claim to love, but there's some ways that love behaves itself, and there's ways that love acts. So somebody can say, well, I love so-and-so, but if you're doing everything opposite of what 1 Corinthians 13 says towards them, don't try to sell me on it. You don't love them, and you need a Holy Ghost revival in your heart when it comes to this matter of love, increase and abound in love one toward another. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, and that word charity is translated from the word agape. It's, by the way, the same Hebrew word that Jesus used when we read that back in John chapter 13. Same exact Greek word. And so he said, and have not, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, verse 3, and though I give my body to be burned and hath not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity or love never faileth. I wrote some things here. Let me just go through it. Go back to verse 1, 2, and 3 there in 1 Corinthians. In the church house, amongst the brethren, a lot of things are said, words are used. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, they're spoken absent of love, they become empty, irritating, and ineffective. You can say the right things, but there can be no love in the heart. Words aren't proof of love. Actions proof of love. In verse number 2, notice this. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, in the church house, many gifts of the Spirit are and should be put on display. But no matter how spiritually powerful they are or may appear to be, absent of love, the Bible says that they are nothing. I'm nothing. So a person can have a golden tongue and say all the right things, but not have love. And the Bible says pretty soon they'll become like a tinkling brass, sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, which is an irritating sound. Because you know what? They're saying all the right things, but there's no love there. They have faith. They have all of those things. Spirituality, but spirituality absent of love, you know what, is nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. You know what? You can make great sacrifices, but if there's no love as the motivation behind those sacrifices, pretty soon God says it profiteth me nothing. And then it goes on and describes love in verse number 4 and verse number 8. Let me just read what I wrote here and summarize it. The spirit of love is displayed in the assembly by our willingness to be long-suffering with each other. You know what? When you are long-suffering, by the way, that word long-suffering is a good word. What is patience? Patience when you suffer long with somebody, okay? You know, you're willing to suffer. Suffer something that you'd rather not have to suffer and endure something that you'd rather not have to endure, but you know what? You do it. Spirit of love is displayed in the assembly by our willingness to be long-suffering with each other. Do you exercise some patience around here? Are you patient with the bus kids? Are you patient with our teenagers? Are you patient with each other? Then you love. Then that's an expression of love. It is manifest in the kindnesses shown between each other. Love is exhibited when we restrain our natural carnal tendencies to envy, to become selfish, to promote ours and ourself. Okay? So think about that. The spirit of love permeates a congregation when we learn to become careful of how we behave ourselves among ourselves. When every member seeks the good of every other member. When we refuse to carry a chip on our shoulder. We refuse to be easily provoked. We refuse to think evil about others. When we insist on rejoicing in the truth. Hey, bring me good news about somebody. I don't want to hear the evil. I don't want to hear it. If the bad news causes you to rejoice, you need to learn something about love. All right, somebody stumbles and falls, and boy, Anna, you can't wait. You can just, you know, you stumble over, you spring a thumb, sending text messages about it. And that's the only thing that gets you excited is bad news. Something's wrong. I'm serious, and look at me. Something's broken. Something's wrong. I don't rejoice in iniquity. You hear something, you hear bad news, you hear about one of our young people that stumble and fall. You hear about somebody that's having trouble in their marriage. You know, if that excites you in some way, God help you. I mean it, God help you. And it shouldn't make us want to run to our Facebook page. It ought to make us want to get to our knees. Okay? It shouldn't make us want to get on the cell phone or run down the coffee shop so we can sit around and talk about it for. Come on now. I mean, there ought to be more weeping, less texting about stuff, more weeping, you know. And that's called love. And so that's what the Bible is encouraging us. We need to increase in this. We need to abound in this. The spirit of love is strong enough to bear what has to be born. Okay? It beareth all things. If you love people, you know what? You can carry a lot. You can bear a lot. To believe what should be believed. Believeth all things. To find a reason. To find hope for others and for ourselves. And strong enough to endure the few things that simply must be endured. And you know what, folks? Some things just have to be endured. There's no cure for it. It's just the way it is. But you know what? Love gives you strength to go on. The spirit of love always triumphs, never fails. It's clearly the greatest of all attributes, trumping both faith and hope. Think about that. I had a spell in the truck thinking about that today. The greatest of these is charity. More than faith. Boy, do a study on faith. More than hope, our blessed hope, our assurances. What keeps us going? We find love in its rightful place in the list of the fruits of the Spirit. It is listed first. And this place of prominence is not an accident. It leads to joy. It leads to peace. It leads to long-suffering. It leads to gentleness, goodness, and faith. It comes before meekness, and it helps temperance find its way. I feel like I'm coming to the pulpit tonight to share with you one of Christ's last requests for those of us who are his followers. Here it is. Love one another. Help create in this assembly a double portion of the spirit of Christ's love. I want people to feel it when they come in. I want visitors to feel it when they come in. I want people to just look around and watch people interact and say, wow, I didn't even think this existed on the planet. I was knocking on doors in Brazil, Indiana years ago, and I invited a guy to church, and he said, I've done the church thing. I'd never do that again. And I said, why would you say such a thing? I said, I grew up in church. I love church. Why would you say such a thing? He said, well, I've been to the church and I've been to the tavern, and there's more fights break out in the church than in the tavern. Now, excuse me, folks, but what am I supposed to say? I'm on that man's doorstep, and I'm trying to get him to come to church. What am I supposed to say to that? I don't know what kind of church he went to. There's a lot of churches that, honestly, all they do is just go from one battle to one battle to one war to one war to whatever. I mean, business meetings, people might as well bring weapons and get in the middle and battle it out. I mean, nonsense. Listen, tell me, how in the world is going to find Jesus Christ if they look at the church and that's what they see? Hey, why don't you decide something? Why don't you just love everybody here? No, I want to open your mind to something. Why don't you just decide, everybody you look at, you're just going to say, God, help me to love them like Jesus loved them and like Jesus loved me. Yeah, but they're not this and that. Well, you know, Jesus looked and loved us, and we're not all that much either. We're a mess. Okay, he loved us not because of who we were, but despite who we were. Maybe the person that's got the most problems just needs love. He needs somebody to love them. Okay, and so let's do that, church. Let's do it. Let's go back, if you will, to John chapter 13, verse number 33 and 35. And I know we're not going, it seemed like going ahead much where we were there in 1 Thessalonians, but we are. We are. We'll get to that. John chapter 13, let's go back there and let me just make a couple of observations. John chapter 13, let me get back there. Verse number 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one toward another. I didn't give you an update on Lynette, but and I don't know a whole lot more. Me and Cheryl's going to go up there. I called up there today and talked to Lynette. Sister Terry was down in the cafeteria, so I didn't get a lot of nuts and bolts answers as far as what's going on, but I just talked to her for a while. And we're going to, me and the missus is going to drive over in the morning. We're going to sit down and see her. I mean, here's a little girl going off to Bible college, and first year of Bible college, she gets halfway through her second semester, and all of a sudden she gets to the point she can't walk. And I'm going to tell you something. I love that kid. Say, preacher, she's 19. You shouldn't say that. Listen, I love that kid. I mean, I love her like I love everybody else around here, but I love her a little extra right now. You know why? Because I'm pulling for her. I mean, you imagine that. All of a sudden, you're in the prime of health and 19 years of age. Is there a time you're supposed to be stronger? And all of a sudden, within a 24-hour period, you go from everything's all right to the whole world's upside down. And I mean, doctors right now will not look at them and say, yeah, you're going to be okay and you're going to walk again. They will not give them that assurance. They don't know. Are you listening, church? Okay. I mean, come on. Just love people. Just love people. I mean, you know what? We didn't know 2 weeks ago she'd be facing this. I don't want to love them just when they go down. I want to love them before they go down. All right? I mean, come on, root for each other. Pray for each other. Carry each other's burdens. And we're going to go down. Well, hey, what are you going to do, preacher? I don't have anything to bring except I did get out of her. She wanted some peanut M&M's, so I'm going to bring her some peanut M&M's. She kept saying, well, preacher, I don't want you to spend any money. I said, what do you want? Well, I'm embarrassed to ask you. I know you're going to buy them. I said, I'm going to bring something, so it might as well be something that you like. Because if you don't tell me, I'll buy half the store and bring it. She said, well, it's going to sound embarrassing, but I want peanut M&M's. I'll probably buy Walmart out of peanut M&M's tomorrow. Take them down there, and I'll sit there and eat half of them before I get out of the room. But you know, hey, you know what, folks? Everybody's going to go through stuff. I mean, January 1st, you know, nobody knew that this was going to be something this girl's going to face. And by the way, 2014's not over yet. And there's a lot of things probably going to happen, and something almost in every family in here. I mean, I just about guarantee it. Everybody's going to get touched by something before the year's out. Something sometimes that we don't have the faintest idea that's coming our way. Listen, folks, before somebody goes through the crucible of life, I want to know that I loved them. While they're going through the crucible of life, I want them to know I love them. After they go through the crucible of life, listen, I want them to know that that's what people ought to feel here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You say, well, you're exactly right. And there has been people in this church that, well, how about you? I know you're real good at evaluating everybody else. That animosity you're feeling in your heart that causes you to take this to somebody else shows you got a problem right now. It shows you got a problem right now. All right? How come all of a sudden bitterness sprung up and you're taking this truth and instead of putting it in your heart, you're trying to deflect it on the... Well, hey, let's break through that garbage. Why is preaching on love making you feel bad or hateful towards somebody else in the church? Come on, let's get rid of this junk. Let's purge Blessed Hope Baptist Church of this, okay? I want you to be flaming fundamentalists, and I want to stand for all the right things, and I don't want to compromise with the world on anything. But you know what? I also want to listen to what Jesus said when he had the last few minutes to walk from the upper room to Gethsemane, and he said, hey, listen, guys, let me talk to you about some things because I'm getting ready to get out of here. And you're not going to be able to do this if you don't get some things figured out. I can just see eyeballing some of them that haven't been getting along while he's saying this. You love one another. He looks at one of them, looks at them. You hear me? You love one another. As I loved you, you love one another. I think maybe if Jesus Christ would come back to earth and somehow we could grab him to come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I'm not sure maybe he wouldn't go just pew to pew to pew and just look you in the eyeball and say, hey, you know what? I loved you. Now tell me why you can't love brother so-and-so. You tell me why you can't love sister so-and-so. Well, you don't know what they did. Jesus said, oh, excuse me. I don't know what they did. And he'd take his hands and go like this, say, this is what your sin did to me. And I love you. Did they drive nails through your hand? Did they drive nails through your feet? Did they spit in your face? Did they take a crown of thorns and beat it into your brow? Did they hang you on a cross and sit down at the bottom and mock and jeer at you? They stick a spear in your side. Hey, looky here. I love you and you did this to me. And you're taking some little nonsense thing that the devil's taken and blown up into some monstrous thing in your mind when the honest truth is when we get to eternity and look back at it, it was nothing. You say, well, someone said something. Well, get over it. You've never said anything to anybody because you were having a bad day one day. Come on now. And so what we've got to do is we've got to say, listen, we got to look at this thing. Lord, help this thing to increase. Why should we love one another? Because the Savior commanded it. That ought to be enough of a reason. Let me give you closing comments. Because our Savior commanded it, that ought to be enough of a reason. You know what he said? He said this. A new commandment. Listen, folks, this isn't a suggestion. This is a commandment. All right? That you love one another. If Jesus commands it, and we don't do it. Listen, to ignore or break a direct commandment of our Savior is nothing less than sin against our Savior. And so our refusal to love people as they ought to be loved puts us in a place of sin. We need to repent of this. We must begin to treat this problem in our life as sin. Listen, if you don't love people properly, you got to just say, you need to start confessing that. Oh, God, please. Here you've commanded me to do something that I'm not doing. I confess it. I need help in this. Lord, I need victory in this in my life. Love people. Number two, because our Savior modeled it. He said this. He said that you love one another as I have loved you. John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Jesus did not say to Peter, love me. He went to Peter and loved him. Well, the woman at the well, the lepers, the tax collectors. Watch this. What drew them all? Why did they listen? Jesus sitting on a well, and a Samaritan woman comes, and she identifies him as a Jew. And you know, why does she stand there and talk to him? Why does she answer the questions? There's something different. There's something anointed here. Why did he listen? Because you know what? I think that, you know, listen, I believe this with all my heart. You can't fake this. You get it from God, or you don't get it anywhere. But you get a baptism of love, and you walk in there and young people are going to listen to you who wouldn't listen to you before. And lost sinners will listen to you that you haven't been able to get to listen to you before. There's just something about love. And people know it. They know whether you got it or whether you don't. But listen, our Savior had it. Why did people love Jesus? Here's a good question. Why did people love Jesus? Here's the answer according to the Bible. Because he first loved them. Agape love never says, well, they don't like me, so I don't like them. Good. Now get out of junior high. Come on now, get out. I mean, that's about third grade. Get out of third grade. Okay, can you imagine if Jesus took this attitude? It's not the love of Christ. It's immature silliness we find in an elementary public school playground. That's where it is. Well, they don't like me, so I don't like them. Wow, wow. The depth of spirituality. No wonder we're impacting the world for Jesus Christ. God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When did he love us? While we were yet sinners. So why do we need to increase in love? Because Jesus commanded it. Because our Savior modeled it. Number three, because it is the undeniable proof of authentic Christianity. Did you see what it said there at the end of that verse? Verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. The number one identifying trait of authentic Christianity is that people love each other. And I believe this. I think lost people need to walk into Blessed Hope Baptist Church and just see people that genuinely care about each other and genuinely love each other. Now, folks, look up here. Look up here. Don't brush this off, please. Don't push this away. Don't go home and say, if they stop. You know what? This is something that we need a Holy Spirit revival of. You say, preacher, you think there's a lot of people? No, I don't. I think most of you are fine. I think some of you need heart surgery. You really do. Come on now. You need God to do something in your heart. What name, listen, of a Christian, what name could I name up here and it just make your blood boil and lips curl and hatred rise in your, come on now. Who is it that you see that's a born-again Christian, walk by and boy, I'm just, you know what? Watch this, look right up here. It's not their problem. It's not them that has the problem. It's you that has the problem. You play the blame game the rest of your life. I know. But you don't know what, I do. Yeah, I really do. Well, you've never had, you'd be shocked. Yeah, come on now. In the ministry, as long as we've been in the ministry, good night. If acupuncture worked, I'd be healed of everything. I've been stabbed in the back so many times. There in the person that said anything about Jerry Ross that would walk in that door, that I wouldn't feel a heart of love for. You look right up here. You don't get that cheap, though. You don't get it cheap. You get it from God or you don't get it anywhere. I mean, there's some people that said some horrible things about me and my family. You know what? I don't pray anything bad on their lives. I ask God to bless them. You know what? Here's a good thing for you to remember. Watch this. Just because somebody don't like you doesn't mean that probably in a lot of other areas of their life, they're not probably a pretty decent human being. So they don't like me, okay. So what? I don't mean that they're going to stop me from loving them. Now, here's a good thing. Look right up here and we're done. But we need some quiet time about this. I'm not talking about 30 seconds in an altar. I mean taking some time. Some of you are going to have to work through some things. Some of you have to get a piece of paper out and write a list. Say, God, I think I love just about everybody except four, and then write them out. The Bible says begin to pray for them. Pray for those that despitefully. Well, they despitefully use me. Well, what's the Bible say then? Pray for them. You know, it's hard to stay mad at somebody at the throne of grace. What else the Bible says? The Bible says be kind to them. Like, listen, if it helps you at all, he goes on to say it's like pouring heaps of coals upon their head. I think he threw that in there because he knows how human we are. And all right, I'll be nice, only because it's the closest thing to do to doing what I really want to do. So, but hey, come on. Listen, don't let somebody else's problems or hatred or sin create the same in your heart. I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to live that way. I'm not doing it. Somebody decides they're going to get up every day of their life for the rest of their life and hate Jerry Ross. They can do it, but I'm not joining that party. You know what? I'll get up every day of my life and love them just to spite them. Yeah. I'm not doing that. I'm not giving anybody that much control in my life. If Jesus loved me, come on, church. If Jesus loved me despite all the things I've done and all my failings and shortcomings and all my sin in my life, and he loves me, then how in the world can I hold animosity in my heart against somebody else? Now let's increase. Hey, preacher, I don't know if I can get to where I'm at. Clear over. Well, just increase. Can we increase a little this year? Can we increase? A year from now, we meet back here. You say, preacher, I'm still not there, but I'm going to tell you something. I love people more than I did a year ago. Well, you know what? If you just do that every year and just say, God, give me more of a depth. Give me more of the Christ love. And you just keep that on towards the top of your prayer list. And you go, God, please give me the fullness of your spirit so that I can love when it's hard to love. And you just pray that. Ask God to give it to you. And just, man, don't get off your knees till you ask God for that every day of your life. I'm going to tell you something. You walk around a changed person, and it's a lot better you. It's a lot better you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we've touched upon some holy ground tonight, and we've challenged the folks in an area, dear God, where I don't think any of us, if we rely on our carnal selves, are going to make much headway. Because, Lord, honestly, there are some things that you just have to do for us. And so, please, God, help us. I pray, dear Lord, that you would not let bitterness and hatred become the defining attributes of our lives. Help us just to love people. And not because of what they are, but sometimes despite what they are. Let's just love them. Let's just love them. Pray for them. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, to be a church that's increasing and abounding in love one toward another. I've heard some good things. I've heard some good things of late. Look right up here, church. I'll finish praying in a minute, but I've heard some good things. I've heard probably in the last 3 or 4 months more of Blessed Hope Baptist Church people doing small kindnesses for each other than I've done in a long time. I'm just going to stop and congratulate you for that. Hey, listen, I think God's doing a little bit of a revival. Why don't you get in on that? Why don't you get in on that? When's the last time that you've just purposely reached out to another family or another member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, just done something unusually kind for them? You know where your treasure is, there where your heart is also. I don't think it has to involve money or anything like that. I just do something. Maybe a note. I mean, come on, man, make your favorite dessert. I'm hoping some of you are bitter against me so that you have to do this to get pure with God, you know. I mean, desserts cause a lot of sins to be forgiven. It really does. But I want to tell you about 5 stories, and I can't. I'd like to tell you about 5 things that I've heard. I can't do it. And I don't mean big deals, but just little things where I've heard about a family that's gone out of their way to be a blessing to another family in this church. And look right up here. I'm talking about between some families where they've had problems some in the past. You know what? They're getting it. Amen. Hey, why don't you jump on board? This is a fun train to ride. Why don't you jump on board? You've already proven you can tear them up and talk about them. Why don't you prove that you can love them? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to do it. We pray in Jesus' name.